sea of forgetfulness and he will remember them no more.
Yes.
I think that's the sea of endless blood on that altar at his feet. He sees that and he remembers what he gave for us. And then he doesn't hold anything. He's just looking at that sea of blood and thinking, just for them. So I can't hold anything against them. I've given them my very best, my only son.
Wow, that's right. The blood of Jesus, the Lord put a lot of efforts forth so that we could live just like him. And we respond by getting saved. But we can put effort together, you know, to match it, to walk in it. Everything that we do, all of our success, is tied to how we respond to his love. And his love can, everything works by his love. Our faith works by love.
Do you know, David just said the Lord told him to start meditating on his love. Here we are loving.
Yeah. And when you try to do God's work or his will, any part of it, there are challenges. The enemy don't want you to be that kind, the light of this world or the salt of the earth. He's trying to stop that process. But the Lord is good in all of his ways. He loves us. He watches over us. Mm-hmm. He helps us go forward. And I learned a lot from the Lord, but I learned things in a multiplied way when I asked him to teach me to love his people. I believe that touched God's heart. That's his language. Yeah. That's his language. His love is his language. And when the more you love people, the easier it is to see, to receive his word, the easier it is to receive things that's strange to you, that's true. Some truth of God's word, it come across strange. We're about to talk about authority again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this teaching, I knew we had authority, but we only use it according to how we measure it. A guy named Chris Lucas was the first person to tell me that you got authority over Satan. I said, that's good to know. I was happy, but I measured it just to get myself out of trouble. I didn't know I could stop gunfights, stop wars. You know, people that get kidnapped, you can speak the word, and the angels are already there. And you can stop Satan in his tracks. Even after I listened to the tape series, I still didn't, I was able to measure it bigger. But I had to. I didn't have a choice. People would die. But the point is, it's easier to receive things from God that's true, but strange. Authority, once upon a time, it was strange to me. But then when I walked in it, I learned that it was easy. It's easier to stop Satan and live free from him than to let him aggravate your life. But I learned to love before I learned to walk in authority, the way Kenneth Hagin taught it. Because the years that it was 87 when I asked the Lord to teach me how to love his people, his way, more than my way. And it was 1990 by the time I learned about authority. And love helped me to learn it and receive it. We're entering in, the Lord put it on Mary's heart again. But this time, we deal with it. Receive it and apply it in your life. And you're going to find out it works. But the love of God, last week we talked about how it would affect the hearing. The more you love, you have ears for what God has to say. Jesus said, let those that have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Mm-hmm. That works by the love of God in you. The more you love God and his people, the more you can, that works out for you. And you can walk in his kind of love. But the things that, going to my King James, I love King James. But the things that helps our hearing, it's based on the love of God. But this week he put on my heart to talk about the appetite. Your appetite for the things of God is also enhanced by the way you love him. And you can, it's changeable.
Yes, very much.
There's no limit to how good your appetite, how strong you can be toward God. And one thing I learned about the love of God, it puts you in control of everything.
Amen.
And not Satan. Oh, thanks, Ken. And the Word of God keeps you in control of everything.
Yes.
And the first thing God said to man, to Adam, is to be fruitful.
Come on in.
And he was acknowledging his faith. I believe that 100%. When Adam looked around and saw the world, he saw himself. And he looked at the Lord, what do I do now? What do I do? And the Lord said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it.
Okay.
And the meaning of what God said, it mirrors what Satan said, except it puts Adam in the perfect will of God instead of an opponent against God. Remember, Lucifer made five satanic statements. I will exalt my throne. He was going to be just like God. But God told Adam to structure his life just like God.
That's true.
So when you're fruitful, that says, he could have wrote a big old long 1,000-page list of things to do. But he said all that when he said be fruitful. Because Adam, he had experience with fruit. Every 3 or 4 hours he ate something. So he knew what fruit was.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what fruit could do. It had a seed in it, and it would multiply into trees. That's what we're supposed to be like. This is what love gives you the ability to do. And as we go forward in him, seeking him and asking questions, we learn how to structure our lives according to his word.
Mm-hmm.
Having ears to hear and an appetite to follow through with it.
Amen.
Is the key. We don't have to have a satanic appetite. And the Lord taught me that every act of the world, everything that the world has to offer, to get you out of the light, it takes a little bit, a small leaven of hatred to follow through with anything, any temptation, anything the enemy throws your way. If you don't have that small amount of hatred, and it can go under the radar. It can be almost undetectable, but it takes a small amount of hatred to act on anything that Satan suggests. To slander someone, to be mean, to be unkind.
Mm-hmm.
There's no rest in it. There's no peace in it. It's against the glory of God. But when you're used to it, it can be unnoticeable.
Yes.
And there's nothing to compare unless we receive his love. The more we receive the God kind of agape love, you just can't do those things. They fall off your life.
Amen.
And Pat, we was in this room. I was talking to Pastor one day. We was going over there. He said, "When the more you study God's word, demons fall off your life."
That's powerful.
He said, demons fall off it, and he gave me a scripture. When we study the word of God,
yes,
we're receiving him. We're receiving his word. And if the enemy shoots his fiery darts, what can they grab a hold of if there's nothing there? If there's no desire for it? Our desires stem from our appetite.
Mm-hmm.
What do we long for? What and why? Some appetites are foreign. They didn't come from the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of things. I fasted, prayed, studied the Word. But what was more effective is receiving the Word along with confessions. You know, man could easily adjust with fasting. Mm-hmm. Because once something gets in your heart, it gets in your mouth. But if you put it in your mouth, it's easy to make any adjustments you want to make and stay in control. I started confessing one. Sometimes I just have an idea of a new confession, and I know it'll work. The confession was, everything that's not like God got to go. I didn't care what it was. And then I started losing my appetite for it. With food, it works too. I said I crave what I need the most. And then you make the minute adjustments in food. But when you speak it with your mouth, it makes a big difference. And the appetites that we share, that we have, we can do more with the appetites of God than with the appetites of the enemy. And the appetites of the enemy is always selfish. It's, I think it's Isaiah 14. There's no rest in it. There's problems attached to it. And it puts the enemy in control. I want you to take a look at what the enemy said. You know, his appetites don't have to be ours. This is Isaiah 14 and 12. The word said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" Now, he was an angel. He had a holy purpose. You know, one day the Lord spoke to me and said, "Why would God need a light bearer?" And wheels started turning. Why would God, who is light, need a light bearer? Why would he make somebody like Lucifer? And what I saw in the spirit, the closest picture of it is what Balaam did. You know, King Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel because he was desperately afraid of them. You know, he saw those about 5 million people out there. He was 3 to 5 million people. And they got to be stopped. They're gonna get us. He was afraid. And motivated, he went and got Balaam. Now, the Lord told Balaam not to go talk to him, but he did it anyway. And in doing so, he did it because he was enticed and he wanted the money and he wanted the prestige that Balak was offering. And that appetite got him in trouble. Now, I read in Revelations that he taught Balak how to curse Israel. And I read the discourse, but I didn't see it for years. I didn't see what Jesus was talking about. One day I kept looking. I said, "Lord, show me this. I don't see how," because it looked like Balaam was still honorable. Because he said good things about Israel. Mm-hmm. I didn't see him say, "Well, this is how you do it." But he said a statement that taught Balak how to curse. He said, "There's no sin in Israel. There's no, things like fornication." Well, the light bulb went off in Balak's mind. And in chapter, I think it was 24, that the men of Israel were sleeping with the daughters of Moab. He got the prostitutes of Moab to start a weakness in the men, and they sinned. Now they could be cursed, which it worked. Because of what Balaam did, everything that was tipping fell over. If the prostitutes of Moab didn't go out there, they were tipping, but they didn't fall. Everything that was tipping fell over. Then God judged him, and then through Moses intercession, he forgave him. But then that was still in the back of many of them's minds. They were interested in what had happened. So this caused people to sway toward the world, even though they didn't act on it. And this became, we saw Baal worship all the way up to King Nebuchadnezzar took him into captivity. What was tipping fell over when Balaam taught Balak how to curse Israel. Well, Joel gave us a clue that even the angels, their things is not pure in God's sight. Things that was tipping, when Lucifer said the five statements that he made, things that was tipping fell over. Now we got fallen angels to fight, and now demons to harass. A third of the angels went with Lucifer. Now keep in mind, the modern day preachers say that Satan is right next to Jesus. He's the next thing. He was a mighty angel. But how could he be next to Christ or next to the Word of God if he had to make five transitions to be like God? So this also means that there are angels that were older than him, and possibly and much wiser, that followed him. That's another thing. But then, think about it. He was more like Adam that wanted to be something that he was not. He wanted to be like God. He wanted the worship that goes to God. But he was a light bearer to, instead of help people that was about to fall, give them the example they need to make the love choices they need to make and be fully committed to God. Everybody that's born again is not fully committed to God. They struggle with the world. People become lukewarm. Christian people, blood-bought people, become lukewarm in their ways, in their actions. And Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, we preached in your name, cast out demons in your name, did miracles in your name. He's going to say, I never knew you. Why? That shouldn't be. But what do people do with what God gave them? Some people, they start tampering with the world, and they're in two kingdoms. They've actually fallen into the world again. And when the Holy Spirit woo them to come back, there's no fear of God, and the world has a stronger hold on their life. But they didn't go so far that they can't come back. They didn't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And now the Lord can't get that. People can get to a point that God can't get their attention anymore. Their heart gets harder against the things of God, and their appetite for the world becomes stronger. Remember the priest when he walked into the Holy of Holies. He had a rope tied to his legs and bells on the hems of his garments. If they stopped hearing the bells, they just drug him out because they couldn't go in there and get him if he died. Because he was in the glory, in the anointing, we live. In the glory, we live if there's no sin. But in the glory, if there's sin, you die. Henry Gruber had he was teaching at a church, and he was supposed to speak. And this was one of the most interesting videos about Henry Gruber I ever heard. And they were praying for the glory to come down. And they were, you know, and those that were in love with God were calling for the glory to come down. But half of the congregation was in sin. And then the Lord told him, tell them to stop. He looked around, because that didn't seem like something God would say. And the Lord said, tell them to stop. They're calling my glory. And then half of them are in sin, and they'll die. And he was still puzzled about it. He said, tell them to stop. He said, are you going to tell them to stop? So he got up there. He said, if you don't tell them to stop, that blood's going to be on your hands. He got up there and he was going to say, stop it. He said, stop it. And they stopped. And then he said, there's sin in the camp. You're calling the glory down and there's sin in the camp. Half of you will die. And a revival broke out. And the priest, when he went in the Holy of Holies, he had to have that rope on his leg, because if there was any sin in his life, he would have died. But now, we have to
We really have to stop now.
Yep. But the appetite of God is ours. And our will. You can be in the word of God keeps you in control. But dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Mm-hmm. I thank you for all that you're doing. Help us to go forward in you, receive your word, do your word, and treasure your word with great appetite. In Jesus' mighty name. Yes. Bless every speaker. Bless yes. Mary as she go forth.
Thurston, I'm going to say one thing. That, you know, Gloria Copeland for years said there's going to be a revival of holiness too because you have to have it. That's why you got to have it. Because mm-hmm. the people that's handling that glory and all has got to be with it. It's not going to kill them. Right.
Yep. That's right.
Now, the world, you know, God has a different place for them, but when the church is doing that, that's why Jesus walked in the spirit of holiness. Because he handled all that glory.
Yeah. And we can do it too. We can do all things through Christ. Strength.
And the key is love. And how do you increase that love that God's put in you? It's all there.
The word.
You fellowship with him in everything. The word, here, it's just being in tune, staying with God. That's how you increase love.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, he's got it all in there, but that means your soulish love.
Mm-hmm. Everything of God is increasing. And he gives us full control.
So actually, come here helps increase our love.
Yeah.
Hearing you, just seeing you smile increases my love. Younger all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to record that, girl.
I received it.